Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love Him tonight, don't you? I like what I feel. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I appreciate the liberty of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Let's give Him just one more good round of applause. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. It's our privilege tonight to be in Louisiana. Thank you, Brother Crane, Brother Heiler. We want to say tonight it's our privilege to be here, and we want to give honor to our national chairman, Brother Johnson, Brother Wilson, Brother Walls, General Board, great body of ministers that are represented here tonight, and also this great body of believers that come to worship the Lord. It's certainly an honor tonight, I want to say, to have been asked to stand in the place of Brother Hammond, one of our great ministers of the Ohio District. And I know had he been able to be here tonight, he would have done a very superb job. He's a great preacher. But I say tonight, thank you for the invitation to come and minister in this great conference. And we've heard some great preaching this week, haven't we? Amen. Brother Tim Gill, Brother Upton, the day speakers have all just been superb. And I appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. It's the word that touched my heart and brought me into this beautiful message that I preach tonight. I'm glad for the message. Praise God, praise God. Without any further ado, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the word of the Lord found in 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's good to have the ministers and the fine folks of Ohio District with us tonight. I appreciate you out there. Amen. My good wife up there, I know she's right up there. I see my daughter today. That encourages me. I can look up there and they're going like this. I walked up here tonight and my daughter goes, that encourages me. Amen, amen. She's an encouragement to me. I appreciate my wife and my daughter. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, the word of the Lord said, and it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And I want you to notice the very last verse. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this truth? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. Everybody say, pursue.
Pursue.
For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail thou shalt recover all. Hallelujah.
I want us to lift our hands and ask the Lord to bless us again tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we magnify the name of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Bless your word now, God, and anoint it with your anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, and shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail shalt recover all. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to your neighbor and shake their hand and ask them the question, do you know Abigail? Hallelujah. You'll get the gist of that in just a moment. Turn around the neighbor next to you and say, have you met Abigail? Praise God. I hope there's no one in here that has the name Abigail. If you are, it's just a biblical name. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. But I want to preach tonight using this subject from this passage of Scripture that I have read in your hearing. I want to minister on this thought. The day that joy returned. The day that joy returned. Praise God. Praise God. We would not have to go very far to lay a foundation for this message tonight. For the Bible says that David and his valiant men had pursued in another direction. And they're leaving their city unattended. Ziklag with their wives and their children, their sons and their daughters were there and everything that they had. I want you to know tonight that in that city David had a wife by the name of Abigail. And that name means something tonight that I want to minister from this passage of Scripture. And I trust tonight that God will speak to our hearts. I probably will say some things that Brother Upton said last night. But I want you to know, friend, that God had given me the thoughts before I got to this conference. And Brother Upton, I'm not trying to re-preach your message, but the Lord said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Hallelujah. But I want you to realize tonight David came back to Ziklag. And there when they got to the place of the city, they beheld and it was destroyed the fire. They looked around and everything that they had been destroyed. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive by the Amalekites. Those spirits that should have been destroyed by King Saul, but he did not perform the job that God had sent him to do. Therefore, they remain to torment God's people. But I want you to see tonight as David and his men approach Ziklag, there is something that begins to transpire in the depths of their heart. Suddenly they realize that everything that means something to them has been taken away. But I want you to notice one man by the name of David, a man that stands out in the Word of the Most High God, a man that we preach about time and time and time again. David came down to the place when he looked around and he said, Abigail is gone. Friend, I want you to realize that something in David began to die because Abigail meant something unto David. I want you to realize tonight that the Bible says after they had wept, after they had mourned, and they could not weep anymore, the men begin to look at David and said, David, all of this is because of you. And the Scripture says They wanted to stone David to death, but that's not my subject. My subject is simply this: the day that joy returned. I want you to see me tonight as I see David slipping away all by himself. Because you see, when he turned to the men closest to him, they were upset and they wanted to stone him unto death. And the scripture says David slipped out by himself. And it was there, the scripture says, that David began to grieve. If you can look with me into the scripture tonight, when David realized that Abigail was gone, his countenance began to fall. That outward exterior, that look upon his face that one time was full of joy and happiness, now was a countenance that was hanging down. It was a countenance that was grieved and sad and lonely. And the scripture says that David, in verse number 6, I want you to look at this. I'm laying a foundation, but I'm going to get there in just a moment. Verse number 6 said, "And David was greatly distressed." And I want you to notice the word distress means narrow. It carries with it the meaning of being placed in a very narrow situation, in a very narrow place. And David looked, and Abigail was gone, and suddenly David became distressed and distraught, and his countenance fell. He found himself in the midst of circumstances that was robbing him of something that meant everything to him. I want you to realize tonight, it seemed that everywhere David turned, he was closed in. Have you ever felt like that, friend? Oh, come on. I know that every one of us have felt at some time or other in our walk with God, we have been brought to a place where we may have even become distressed and felt like it was just us. And we even wondered, God, do you know where I am? Lord, do you know what I'm going through? Yes, he had to encourage himself. But I want you to ask yourself the question, when we look at David, what happened to David when he looked around and he became distressed? When the people noticed his countenance had fallen, when they realized that in the heart of David he was wrestling with something that he just wasn't sure about. I want you to see something tonight, friend. There was something that died in David's heart when Abigail was taken captive, because the name Abigail means the restorer of joy. Amen. I want you to realize something tonight. When David looked and saw Abigail was gone, he said, "My joy has been taken away from me." Hallelujah. David loved Abigail, the restorer of his soul, the restorer of the joy of his life. David had lost his joy momentarily. David needed something. He needed something, some means, somehow, for his joy to return back to him. But oh, my friend, David knew that somehow, when you look at verse number 8, he said, "Bring me the ephod." And he began to inquire of the Lord. David knew that he was in a circumstance that he had had joy and it meant the world to him. He had had joy and it became his strength. He had had joy and it was everything that he desired. But all of a sudden, this man realizes, unless he goes back and gets the joy, he's not going to be what he should be. He's not going to have everything that God wants him to have. I want you to see tonight in verse number 8, he said, "Lord, shall I pursue? Shall I go after the troop?" And I want you to realize tonight that the exciting part is the answer of the Lord. And he looked at David, or God gave the message. And he said, "Thou shalt pursue." David, go after Abigail. Go after your joy and pursue after it. For you shall overtake the joy. He said you can recover everything that you have lost. Friend, there's a promise in that. There is a promise in that. I want to say tonight that I know, and I realize this has been said already in this conference, but I know a lot of folks, we have come to this conference and we've come distress possibly within our souls. Oh, it's not that things aren't going good in a measure, but I want you to know, as Bill often said, we smile on the outside, we shake hands, and someone says, "How's it going?" And we say, "Man, it's going great." But there's many times, it's not that things aren't going great, but it's many times down deep inside, we are wrestling with circumstances that has taken our joy out of our hearts. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yes, friend, I'm sure folks wrestle with a thought, should I go on to conference? Lord, will I be able to touch you there? God, will I be able to leave there feeling something of a renewal in my soul? But I want you to realize tonight that God told David to go and pursue. It seems like you're in a narrow situation, friend. Maybe nobody knows it. Maybe the smile on your face doesn't give it away. But down deep in your heart, you've come into this conference and you're in a narrow situation. You're in a tight place. And it just seems like nobody knows where you're at. But I want you to know, my God knows where you're at. My God knows where you're at. Hallelujah. My God knows where you're at. Oh, yes. I want you to see tonight that when David turned to the Lord and he inquired of God, he found his answer. And God said, don't stay where you're at, David. Don't remain where you're at. Don't stay in that narrow place. Don't let the circumstances get you down. But rise up, rise up, rise up and pursue after your joy. Hallelujah. Yes, friend, I want you to know tonight that there is a possibility. There is an understanding tonight that Abigail was the joy, if you please, of David. But I want to talk about the church of the living God. It is the restorer of joy where we come together like this and worship the Lord. It is where we can find our joy again. Yes, I'm afraid there's a lot of folks that have lost the real joy of church. There's folks that has lost the shout. There's something in them. The shout just doesn't seem to be able to come out because they're weighted down. They want to, but it just seems to elude them. There is that situation where they used to dance in the liberty of the Spirit. But for some reason, the dead seems to have left their feet and it's no longer there. Hallelujah. They began to remember when there was a lighthearted joy of laughter in their soul about the goodness of God and about what God had done for them. But you see, circumstances has robbed you of the most important thing that God will ever give you, and that is your joy. Your joy. Turn to your neighbor now and say, "Do you know Abigail?" Say, "Do you know joy?" Hallelujah. I'm glad for joy. I'm glad I got acquainted with joy in the house of the Lord. My Lord, have mercy. Come on, you need your joy. Hallelujah. I can't make it without my joy. Hallelujah. And the Lord says to you, if you have not your joy, pursue it. Pursue it. Pursue it. Don't stay where you are. Rise up and say, joy, I'm going to come after you. Yes, some have come to this conference and down deep inside, there's some hurts that nobody knows anything about. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I'm sure more than one of us. But friend, I want you to take courage in the message. God is not sending this message to send you a rebuke, but He's sending this message to give you encouragement. That if you don't have joy, if you've lost joy, just rise up somewhere in this conference and pursue after it. Get hot on its trail and don't give up until you overtake it again and you regather everything that God ever gave you. Isaiah, we talk about joy. Isaiah said in 12:3, for with joy. For with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. You're going to draw it out. I want you to know, some of you, some of us, there's wells all around us tonight. My Lord, if God could open our eyes, there are wells all around us tonight. And all we need to do is reach out there and get us a bucket and let it down in the well and draw us up a great big bucket of joy. Let it come back to the heart, Lord. Joy, yes, it's all around us. Hallelujah. See, church is the exciting part. It ought to be the thing that sets my soul afire. When you go back to your home churches, every time that church is mentioned, you ought to jump up and begin to worship God, because it's the church where you're going to get your joy restored. It's where the preacher is preaching to you. He's going to tell you how to get out of the place you're in and get to joy. Hallelujah. David, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, inquired of the Lord. He said, Lord, shall I go here? He said, no. He said, go up to Hebron. And there, I want you to understand that Hebron means place. And if I can just paraphrase it just a little bit tonight, God said, David, I want you to go up to the place where my presence is. David, I don't want you to go over here. I don't want you to go over here, but I want you to take your wives. He said, you mean I get to take my wives, Ilham and Abigail? He said, yes, because when you go to church, when you come into the presence of the Lord, I want you to have joy with you. I want you to bring joy to church with you. I'm going to tell you something. Every time we come to church, we need to be like David. I'm not going to church without Abigail with me. I'm not going to church unless I got my joy with me. Oh yes, David said that over 200 times. The word joy is mentioned about God, the church, salvation. When I go to church, the place of God, I want you to know joy ought to go with me. And friend, above all, when I walk out of there, Brother Johnson, Brother Heiler, Brother Wilson, when I walk out of the church, if anything needs to be, if I haven't got it when I get there, my Lord, when I leave church, when I leave the presence of the Lord in the sanctuary, I ought to leave with joy in my soul. I ought to have that joy come down and take a hold of me. Yes, David's first wife, Ahinoam, means grace. Grace, the unmerited favor of the Lord. I want you to see tonight that when David went to the house of God, grace and joy was there with him. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on now. When I went to the house of God, I found the unmerited favor of the Most High God. And when He got through with me, I had joy down in my soul. I'll never forget. I was raised Trinitarian, taught against this Jesus name message. When I come into the church, I want you to know my family disowned me. They mocked me. They ridiculed me. But I'm going to tell you, when you get joy and you find the real grace of God, there's no power that can stop you from living for God. Hallelujah! 14 years I prayed and fasted for my family. But one day, my brother and his wife walked in to the mobile home in Arkansas where I was having services in my front room. 14 years, prayer, fasting, ridicule, turned a deaf ear. But I'm going to tell you, when they walked into that little humble trailer house room, my wife and I and daughter and son, and then a couple of more, I want you to know the Spirit of the Lord was there, and joy got a hold of those folks. The Spirit of grace reached down and touched them. They knelt down, repented their sins, got baptized in Jesus' name, and today they're the strongest people in the church of Clarksville, Arkansas, because joy got a hold of them. Have mercy. I want you to realize tonight that there is a need that I reach for joy. There was a man that was stood at the pool of Bethesda. It was there that he sat year after year. He was an impotent man. He was not able to get into the water. And the Bible says once a year that the Spirit of the Lord came down, an angel, and he troubled the water. And the first one into the water was going to be healed. I want you to realize year after year after year after year, because only one could get in the water. But one day there was a man walked up to the front of him. He didn't know who he was. He was lying on his bed. And the man looked at him and, "Sir, wilt thou be made whole this year?" And he said, "Oh, sir, you know, when the troubling of the water starts and I start looking for somebody to get me down there, while I'm coming, another steps into the water ahead of me and I have to go home and hope for another year. I go home without any joy in my heart." And the Lord looked into his eyes. He didn't know it. He didn't realize it. But the joy giver was standing there looking him in the eyes. He didn't know it, but that grace of God was there in his face. And friend, when the Lord looked at him, he said, "Sir, take up your bed and go on home." There was no doubt. This man picked up his bed. He didn't walk away with his head down, but he walked away with a shout in his feet, with a joy in his soul. Why? Because joy had come to his heart. When you get joy, it's going to change your life. I'm trying to hurry. Hallelujah. I want you to see tonight that it was David that cried, "When my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is overwhelmed, somebody, somebody, my God, when I'm overwhelmed with circumstance, when troubles have me pressed down, when I can't seemingly pull my head up, in the name of the Lord, somebody come and lead me to the rock that's higher than I am. Somebody get me to the rock where He can lift me up above my troubles." Sometimes we forget about those that are struggling. Hallelujah. He said, "Oh God, restore my joy to me." David came to a place many times when circumstances took his joy away. But he did not remain like that. He began to search. After he had gone after Abigail and had recovered all that he had lost, he realized, "God, if I'll pursue, You will give me what I desire." Amen. And He said, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." I want you to see tonight that Nehemiah was talking to his people. They begin to weep and they begin to mourn. And he said, "This is a holy day unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." And then Nehemiah said unto them, "Go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Come on, let's worship Him. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have joy, you don't have any strength tonight. Oh, my friend, the writer says, "Weep not." Amen. Weeping. Weeping endureth for the night. But joy. Everybody say, "But joy." Amen. Weeping endureth for the night. The circumstances of time may come against you for a while. And the Lord says, you may feel a little distressed. You may feel a little disquieted. You may feel a little discouraged. But don't worry. Joy. Joy is going to come to you in the morning. I'm saying tonight, you don't have to wait till the morning to get it. You can get your joy right now in the remainder of this service. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 just came from Mount Carmel, destroyed the prophets of Baal. What a great victory. What a move of God. But all of a sudden we find Elijah, the Bible says, a man of like passions as we are. Suddenly this great man that stood on Carmel and brought to pass one of the greatest miracles that God's people would ever see or witness, and slew the 450 prophets of Baal and turned Israel back to their God momentarily. Here's this man running to Mount Horeb for his life. Here's this man that when you looked at him over here, everything was going great. But I'm going to tell you, friend, don't you be discouraged, because no matter who we are, no matter what our name is, no matter where we are in this world, we're all in the same boat together. We're all going to feel the same discouragement. We're all going to feel the same burdens of time. We're all going to have to pursue our joy from time to time. And the voice of the Lord said, "Elijah, what doest thou here?" He said, "I was jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I was jealous for the Lord God of hosts." What he was really saying is, "I've done all I know to do, God. Can I just do it like this, God? I've stood against sin. I've preached the word. God, I've prayed. God, I've fasted. God, I've knocked on doors. I've done everything I know to do, God. And it seems like that my own world's collapsing around me. It seems like nothing good's going to happen in my city. It looks like, God, that I'm the only one left that's going through this. I might as well go on and give up, God. I might as well throw in the towel, Lord. I can't take any more pressure like this. But friend, don't feel intimidated. I want to say this, and Brother Johnson, if I'm out of order, you just go up there and get me. But you know what? There's folks that feel intimidated because they judge success on the size of the number in their church. We got some brothers right here and sister. I know that's pastoring churches, and it seems like you've labored and you've prayed and you've fasted and you've knocked doors and you've took your stand and you've done everything you know to do. But something in you says, I'm not successful because I've only got 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. My friend, God does not judge success like that. If you're not careful, the devil will swallow you up in that trap, and he will literally sap you of every ounce of joy you have. We judge sometimes by the kind of car we drive or the home we live in. But oh dear God, don't let the devil, young brother preacher, don't let the devil get you in that. You walk away with the joy gone out of your heart. But my Lord, if God measured like that, Noah was a failure. But friend, Noah was one of the greatest successes of his day. He saved 8 souls. Hallelujah. You see, there's a little thing that says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. For life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And money, many a failure, had he turned about, would no doubt have won had he stuck it out. For after the goal, often the goal is near than it seems to a faint and faltering man. And often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to his golden crown. For success is failure turned inside out. It's the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And if you never, and you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when your hardest hit. For it's when things seem worst that you must not quit. Don't quit. Don't give up on joy. Pursue after joy tonight. It's nearer than you really think it is. If I can say this tonight, and please understand what I'm saying. I want you to realize if Elijah had quit there, did you know there would have been no Zarephath experience? If Elijah had quit when the chips were down, there would have been no Zarephath experience. But God said, Elijah, you're not in this by yourself. I still got 7,000 that's going through the same thing you're going through. And I want you to know, We may be smiling on our face tonight, a lot of us, but I don't mind telling you, Brother Johnson, I got some hurts on the inside, and I want this conference to touch me. I want something from the Lord that when I go home, it's going to change me. Well, you see, that man that stood at the well, he said once a year, but I want you to realize something tonight, that it's not just one of us that can get in the waters tonight. Because there's not just one person that can have the joy restored. But there's a river flowing tonight that's boiling with great fervency. And the Lord said, whosoever will, let them come and drink of the waters of joy, of joy. Every soul in here can get your baptism of joy tonight if you'll pursue it. Quickly tonight, if I could say this, the statistics are staggering in our denominational world today in the collapse of marriages in the ministers' homes. I want to say this tonight, and I hope you don't take this wrong, but I want you to know tonight that even in the apostolic ranks, a whole lot of our marriages are not what they really should be. You see, let me finish that now before you judge me on it. You see, in our apostolic homes, preacher, I want you to know, I'm talking for myself. I can become so caught up with the problems of my church. I can be so caught up with everybody in my church and with their joys and their excitements that I forget about my own home, that I forget about the joy of my own marriage. And my wife can suffer. I can suffer. I'm telling you tonight, if there's anything we need, is to rise up and say, God, put a joy back in the marriage. Put a joy back in the home. Oh, tonight as our musicians come back, get ready to play. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 32, I see a man by the name of Jacob. As he comes after many years of deceit, he's on his way back and he gets word that Esau is coming to meet him. And I want you to see what transpires. I want you to see a man by the name of Jacob that's been living on human reasoning now for a long time. He's been leaning to his own arm of flesh and the human wisdom that he can muster up. He has had no joy. He has had no joy, just trusting in the arm of flesh. But I want you to see something as he hears that Esau is coming. Suddenly Jacob begins to wrestle with something. Suddenly this man begins to wrestle with fear and anxiety. Distress takes him over. The pressures of the day come against him. And he says, I've got to have something. I can't meet an Esau without that special something. And he sends his wife on ahead. And he slips over down by the brook of Jabbok. And the Bible says there Jacob began to wrestle. He began to wrestle. I don't know if Jacob thought it was going to take him as long to get what he needed as it did. But friend, it doesn't make any difference how long it takes. Pursue. Pursue. Don't give up. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night. Bless me. I got to have something that'll keep me. Breaking of the day, the angel said, let me go. Jacob got a hold of that fella. And friend, I don't guess the angel ever had a hold on him like he had on this guy. Jacob said, I don't know what your name is, but I got a feeling I know who you are. And I came here needing something, and I refuse to walk out of this place until you give it to me, God. Day began to break, and the angel said, I got to go. He reached down and touched the hollow in his thigh, and it shrank, threw it out of place. But Jacob said, I'll wrestle with pain. I'm going to pursue until I get that element that's missing in my heart. And the angel finally said, man, I got to go. You prevailed. He touched him, changed his name to Israel, a prince with God. And everybody was looking. Where's Jacob? What in the world's kept Jacob? All of a sudden, up over the little hill he comes. And something is different. Jacob, what's the matter? He said, I got something that I needed. It cost me something, but I got what I needed. I'm walking out of this place a new man. I got a new outlook on the future. I'm going back home with a new zeal, with a new touch, with a new joy in my soul. And when Jacob left there, he was no longer leaning on the arm of flesh, but he had a new experience. He had joy. Joy. Shall we stand? I want to leave this conference walking different, thinking different, and acting different. I want my people to notice when I walk back on the platform, Brother Johnson, there's something about me. I've got something that'll give me the strength to press on. And it's called the joy of the Lord. This is not a time to hang our harps on the willow trees. This is not a time to sit down and refuse to pursue after joy and what I need from God. But this is a time to take down my harp and tune it up. Abigail may not be here tonight, but the giver of joy is here. Our joy, I want you to know, David saw the ark coming down the road. He began to dance before the Lord. Why was he dancing? Because his joy was coming back home. Because joy was returning back to his life. Some of us need to dance and let the joy come back to us. But our joy is not coming back down the road on the shoulders of the priest. But our joy, I said, our joy is coming in the air. Hallelujah. The rapture. The rapture. The rapture. Oh, the voice of the archangel, the shout, the trump of God, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. This is the day for you, my friend. Some of you, right here, have traveled a lot of miles. And at home, things are hurting. You've come hurting. You've come saying, God, if I don't find what I need here, I don't know if I'll make it anymore. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are, sir. know who you are, sister. Whether you're a preacher, a pastor's wife that's hurting, or a good old saint of God. But somebody is hurting, and the Lord said, you don't have to leave here that way. I've sent you a message. If you will pursue after joy, you'll leave this place with it. This is your day. For joy to return to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Will you pray for me?
Hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
I don't know. This is all right. You're a creature, your wife. Listen, we're all struggling. We're all suffering. We're all going through the battles. Maybe you'd like to come down here with your wife and say, God, we need you to touch us that we may go back home and bring joy to our church in a measure that souls will find you.
Jesus, you're the center.
I'm going to turn this service back to our director. Friend, I don't know. It's up to you. But you don't have to leave this conference without joy. You don't have to walk out of here without the touch that you need. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes preachers say, well, what will folks think about me? Sweetheart, my good wife, you bring that daughter of yours and mine down here. I want the Lord to touch us. I'm not ashamed for the constituency to know that you look at one preacher that doesn't have all the answers.
And perfect comes from you.